One of the things that drives Wade and I, it's a little bit crazy, are these, you know, health nutritional experts going on social media and demonizing certain things, whether it's phytic acid or whatever the latest enemy is, because, you know, those are problems for certain, a very small percentage of the population if they overdo it, which almost never happens.
Yeah.
So we're here to kind of just educate people and stop the fear mongering is really one of our goals. And then we wrap up. But, you know, I'd say one of our main goals is we want to give people nutritional freedom.
Yeah.
You know, because if you, again, if you start going on Instagram, TikTok, and you fall into those echo chambers, you're going to leave with more fear than empowerment.
Welcome to Living 4D with Paul Check. Today, Paul is talking with Wade Leithart and Matt Gallant, co-founders of Fight Optimizers, about their new book, The Ultimate Nutrition Bible. A big thank you to our premier sponsors, Fight Optimizers, Paleo Valley, and Organifi. We could not produce this podcast without their support. And of course, Paul only works with companies whose products he loves and uses. All the sponsors offer special discounts for our listeners. So please visit the show notes page at checkinstitute.com/podcast for links and details, or just keep listening to this episode for the featured products and offers.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Living 4D with Paul Check. Our title today is The Ultimate Nutrition Bible. I've got my buddy Wade Leithart and his amazing partner Matt Gallant here, the authors of The Ultimate Nutrition Bible. And if you were ever confused about anything to do with nutrition, you can get unconfused with this book. And you don't have to read it cover to cover. You can look it up by topic or by food or whatever your interest is. Use it as a research tool. It's a great resource to have in your library. And welcome, Wade, and welcome, Matt.
Great to be here.
Pleasure to have you at the Rainbow, buddy.
It's an honor.
And always, Wade, you too.
Thank you very much. It's
and
always
we've
a
been
treat.
Doing our alchemy with our smoke and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are both still alive, so I haven't killed you off.
It's going to take more backs than what you gave us.
So. Yeah, well, I'm going to try to kill you.
Yeah, the post podcast might be a different story.
If we have time,
he needs to drive home though. So
just, yeah. Okay, well,
but I don't.
We'll fire you up then. I thought I would just share my nutritional philosophy, then you guys can kind of chime in. I think me and Wade, and probably you too, to some degree, Matt, from what I understand from talking to Wade, and also our short time in conversation, I don't really think either of us is that far off each other. But my nutritional philosophy in a nutshell is eat high quality food, i.e. free range meats, biodynamic or real organic. Unfortunately, we can't even say organic anymore because they've screwed that up. But, you know, real organic food, that's the basis. You know, your food's only as good as the soil. So if you're not using good soil, it doesn't matter what's on the label, you're getting shitty food. And then my philosophy is have no diet dogma. Pay close attention to your body. Keep an eye on what you're eating. If something changes, always look for what has changed in your diet as the first question. Like you went out to a friend's house and ate fried chicken wings, and you don't normally eat fried chicken wings, and all of a sudden you got pimples popping up everywhere. It doesn't take, you don't have to hire, you know, a professional detective. Just say, well, let's see what happens in a few days. And if it clears up, then I know next time I try chicken wings, I'm going to see what my skin does. And the second time it does it again, you go, okay, it's something about the chicken wings. Well, I eat chicken. Must be the oil they fried it in, unless they have some other spices. In other words, just a process of logical deduction is really how I go about it. And the more you do that, the more you learn. Then you could, you know, like I know, for example, I can't eat almost, there's probably nothing I can eat as far as like a packaged bag of chips, no matter how organic or certified it is. Whatever happens to the oils in the cooking process, there's something going on that doesn't happen here. Like I can have our chef, Sasha, make me homemade potato chips. Eat them all day long, no problem. I get the best potato chips I can get out of a bag. My skin reacts. My brain gets foggy. I get inflammation, I lose my muscle definition, and I go, there's something in there that my body cannot deal with. It's causing an immune reaction and an inflammatory reaction. So the point being is sometimes even like the, we're back to the chicken wings. Maybe the oil they cooked them in might have even been an organic oil, but we don't really know how good those oils are. We don't know how long they've been on the shelf. I was talking to Autumn Smith at Paleo Valley, and she was mentioning either through email or conversation that a lot of olive oils on the market, even organic olive oils, could be sitting for as much as a year or two before they actually get to the shelf, sitting in warehouses. But the point being is you could be buying what looks like a really good food in the store and getting a reaction to it. But that really good food is an aged and kind of lost its vitality, and now you're reacting to something that's not so good anymore, but you go take the same food from a fresh source and you don't have a reaction to it. So, you know, it could be the chicken. It could be what's on the chicken. It could be the oil. If there's, you know, spices, like I said, it could be the spices. But one of the things that I always tell people is, look, if you're trying to figure out what's bothering your body, the best thing to do is limit yourself to no more than three food items on your plate. One meat, two vegetables. Eat enough to, you know, get satisfied, but, you know, you eat a casserole with nine items, you're going to be looking forever. And you don't know what combinations as well do. So I say just keep it simple. And so the other philosophy I have is, one, eat clean, real food. Two, pay attention to what your body needs. Don't get fixed, because as we were talking about, you do a heavy deadlift session, your metabolism go through the roof and you're hungry and you want lots of meat, and you take a rest day or two and you could go almost vegetarian or go vegetarian and feel fine. And then the other thing for me is I really prefer a four-day rotation diet, so that you're getting nutrient variety and you're not overexposing yourself to any one meat source or plant source. And because in a healthy person, retention time is 56 to 72 hours. So for those of you that don't know what retention time is, from the time you eat a food till the time it leaves your body, so you can do an easy test, eat some red beets. The first time you see the red beets in the toilet, that's called transit time, mouth to anus transit time, which should be 14 to 16 hours in a normal person, healthy person. And retention time, the last time you see red stain in the toilet, should be 56 to 72 hours. So on a four-day rotation diet, you get 24 hours of rest from any genus of food, and that calms the immune system down. And so here we have our chef using a four-day rotation cycle. So every day we have a different, and in my book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy, I have a four-day rotation diet that people can follow. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much my philosophy. Eat clean, pay attention, listen to your body. If you're hungry for something, there's probably a reason. If you're hungry for something a lot that seems out of character, like sugar, you probably have a parasite or a fungal infection. And other than that, you're probably pretty safe. That's my philosophy in a nutshell.
Yeah, just to give people kind of a filter to look at food from, I think there's four key things. One is calories.
Yeah.
Second one's macronutrients, carbs, proteins, fats, fiber, ketones.
Yeah.
Micronutrients, which a lot of people are kind of, that are completely obsessed with the macronutrient game, ignore. A lot of them do. And then the last one, which you mentioned, is the toxins. What's the toxins, different toxins that are in the food? So when you look at food that way, it changes things, because, you know, I would say, compared to me, you're a lot more probably obsessed and focused on the quality of the source, which is a great thing. I'm not, you know, for me, I'm looking at things from a macro and a micronutrient perspective a lot. And that's where the supplements come in, because it's almost impossible, even if you get the best food in the world, to get all the micronutrients.
Unless you use, it's hard, but you'd have to, and I've researched this. For example, I've got research papers that I got, I think, from Weston A. Price Foundation or Price Pottinger. It may have been the British Soil Association, but they looked at the ratio of saturated and unsaturated fats in animals farmed. And they would take sheep or any of the farmed animals, pigs, and they would go to one farm, test the ratios, go to another farm, and they found that every single meat source changed the actual ratio of the fats and other nutrients as well. And in farming, you can do the same thing. You can test a tomato here and a tomato at Bob's farm and a tomato at Bill's farm, even if they're within 10 miles of each other. And depending on the soil microorganism population and the type of animals that are pooping, because that determines which microorganism populations are getting fed and therefore thriving, it changes the whole nutrition profile from vitamins and minerals to cofactors to micronutrition like you're talking about. So the point that I'm leading to is one of the things that we do that I have the girls do to protect us is we buy from lots of different farms so that we're never actually going to Billy Bob's organic farm and living off of just one soil source. So I agree with everything you're saying. I think the hard part is that when you start getting to micronutrition, vitamins, minerals, you actually have to have such a vast amount of knowledge to even know what questions to ask and where to look. And I think for most people, that's just like overwhelming for them. So as a therapist, I start with these basic principles, but then I do blood tests and hormone tests. And then I say, okay, well, now we need to narrow down. And that's when I might say, well, you need more broccoli for this, or you need more cranberries. Maybe you need more cranberries to support your prostate or something. So things like that. But that's, you know, as you and I know, running tests like that takes it to a whole different level.
Yeah, and we're big proponents of that. In the book, we talk about all the tests you could and should do. I think one of the biggest game changers is nutrigenomics. So Whit and I have both done, you know, I did 3 different tests last year as an example, and different tests were kind of revealing different things. I don't metabolize zinc very well, so I need more zinc. Same thing with selenium. I've got bad genetics for saturated fats. So that was a huge...
That's interesting for a guy that likes meat.
I know. And I've been probably over-consuming saturated fats for many, many years, and my lipid profile was the one thing I couldn't fix. Huh. But now I'm like, well, that was the problem. So I'm eating leaner cuts and I'm consuming more olive oil now. So that's how I'm optimizing, and I'm going to get some blood work again to see where I'm at. But Wade, maybe you can share some of, you know, your nutrigenomic insights, because I think no matter what diet type or style or philosophy you're on, nutrigenomics can help unlock the next level.
Before Wade shares, I want to interject something because I want to hear your opinion on this. I've done this 3 times, I think, now. I've sent my saliva or my blood in on under different names. So I take mine, send my blood in, take my blood, send it in under another name, pretended it was another client, and the results came back and they've never been even close to each other. So I've found that one of the problems with lab testing is the consistency in the labs is not very good.
Well, I'll back you up on that. On the gut biome side, I ran a similar test, and we're not going to name the company, but they're quite popular. And after talking to people that are true experts, I mean, they all think it's absolute scams and garbage. So like a true gut biome test, the cost is around $800 to $900 to get the full spectrum, the full picture.
Yeah.
So those $200 microbiome gut biome tests, probably a ripoff.
Yeah. I've done this on a number of different blood tests. The first couple times I did it was for food allergy testing. And there was literally, it was like, even though it was my blood in both patients, so to speak, there was no comparison. You would think it was a completely different person. So I realized, and I actually switched from one company, and I'm being polite by not mentioning, I switched from one company because pissed me off that there was so much variance. I'm like, this is useless test. So then I did research and found a company that had a much better reputation and even had languaging on their website about how they've improved consistency. And I had doctors that do a lot of functional medicine tests say, this is the creme de la creme. And their test results were no better. Double blood draw came back. You couldn't even tell it. You would never think it was the same person. So anyhow, I just wanted to throw that in there. That doesn't mean I don't use lab tests. I always mix lab tests with observation, empirical observation, and common sense, because there's even with all the lab tests we can do, there's still so many. We know there's more we don't know that we can gather with lab tests than we do know. For example, when you look at the complexity of the hormonal system and the interactions with them, like, so you do a 24-hour cortisol rhythm test, but that's not telling you what other hormone deficiencies or excesses or heavy metal poisonings or parasites or fungal mycotoxins are doing to the disruption of the normal interaction of your hormones. So I tell people, taking a lab test is like taking a snapshot. Like if I took a picture of Matt sitting in this chair and said, this is Matt's lab test, and he's got a frown on his face, let's say, it doesn't tell you why he's frowning. It just says he's frowning. In other words, you know that someone's adrenal fatigued or they got too much or too little melatonin, but you don't know why. And that's the job of guys like us to figure out.
Well, that's why I think the where we're going to get exponentially more powerful tests is when we get constant data streams of all of these things. You look at a CGM, it's like you said, if I eat, you know, chocolate bar and I take a snapshot 30, 60 minutes later, you'll see a spike, but it's not showing me the entire picture. I mean, if you go to the sauna, you're going to see a spike.
Yeah.
If you do a cold bath, you'll see it go down. So all of these things, if I sleep poorly last night, that's going to show up in my blood sugar tomorrow. So, you know, that constant data stream, it gives you the context that's missing from those snapshots.
Yeah.
I guess by nature, I would be considered a contrarian. And what you what you are exposing to something that was obvious to me when I was in grade 3, and that what we call objective science is subjective in itself. And there's a tremendous amount of assumptions based into every piece of data that you might go for. So I would lean more towards the intuitive awareness.
Yeah.
And then if you go to the Copenhagen conference and the famous, you know, controversy that emerged, I think it was, you know, with the Heisenberg principle versus the Newtonian or the Einsteinian causality, and the act of observation is a part of it. One of the things that Dr. Hawkins introduced was, for example, if you're going to a doctor, medical person, a healer of some sort, check the patients first. Are the patients getting better or the patients getting sick? Because the field, the energetic field of the doctor is going to influence the effect of the same protocol, let alone whatever the observations might be. So I started to realize that the world was far more dynamic than I was conditioned to believe inside of the science chapters.
Yeah.
And so that's the art of life. And I would think that what's really interesting about Matt and I, and why this probably the only reason this book could have got written, was the variance in how we make our subjective determinations. And then that, there's always some sort of contrast inside of that. Now, most people think contrast is something to fear. What it tells me is the premise of what I think is a contrast is the problem, not the contrast itself. That contrast is an opportunity to create a higher value inference or paradigm or ideology. And so what we did when we looked at the book, of course, I'm a plant-based guy, he's a keto guy, you'd probably more like a paleo guy, I would think.
I'm a whatever the need is guy.
Right. Well, we kind of broke it down into
flexitarian is the right word.
We kind of broke it down into five collective dietary ideologies that people are using as their background foundation of what's working for them.
You have to have some way for people to categorize or because, you know, most people don't have the inner awareness to really truly be a flexitarian like I'm talking about. You know, you have to invest some time in activating your right brain and being disciplined enough to pay attention.
Correct.
Hello, everybody. Would you like to learn how to connect directly with your soul and highest self to gain guidance in your daily life and feel more grounded and spiritually connected? Are you ready to learn how to communicate with your soul and develop a language of direct communication that you can use to progressively develop your innate spiritual abilities such as clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, and heightened intuition? Would you like a practical means of asking your own soul your deepest questions about all aspects of your life, life in general, or gain support from your soul in making critical decisions in your life? If you answered yes to these questions, then I have a very special offer for you. I will be offering my Tarot for Soul Guidance training program, in which I share the specific methods of using tarot as a functional language to communicate directly with your soul as an online training program so that anyone can learn and practice in the comfort of their own home. I have deeply studied and practiced tarot for over 8 years. Additionally, I have been working directly with my soul for my own guidance and to support others in their healing and spiritual growth for over 30 years. I have taught tarot for soul guidance to countless patients and students and have received amazing feedback from each of them that engage this practice. See the website for testimonials. I have chosen to offer this workshop online because I found there wasn't enough time in my previous 2-day live version for the students to digest the volume of information and practice it. My new format is specifically designed to make learning more enjoyable, easier, and give you specific practices you can work with between training sessions. This allows you to develop your skills in a step-by-step format and be able to ask all your questions so you feel grounded and confident in your tarot practice each day. Tarot for Soul Guidance will be conducted online over 7 consecutive Fridays, starting May 3rd and ending June 14th. Each 4-hour training session will run from 2 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time for a total of 28 hours of training. All sessions will be recorded so students that can't make a session for any reason can study and practice when it fits their schedule. Students will be given access to session recordings for a period of time after the training ends to reinforce their new practices and skills. The course includes a comprehensive PDF manual with numerous diagrams to help students understand key concepts related to tarot theory and practice. I will explain the anatomy and practice of tarot so anyone can understand it. The training provides all you need to know to engage tarot as a legitimate spiritual practice in which you learn to maintain and deepen connection to your soul and your highest self. There are many step-by-step developmental practices you will learn so that by the time you finish the 28-hour program, you will be proficient in your practice of using tarot. You will have a language for intimate communication with your soul for daily guidance. I will teach you how to use tarot as a means of getting guidance and support from your soul in any aspect of your life, including how to gain an understanding of your future and what you may need to prepare for. Conduct a daily reading and learn ways to best manage yourself to be in harmony with your highest intentions for yourself and others. Gain information and guidance on how to make important decisions in your life. Support others through soul-guided tarot communication and how to progressively deepen your spiritual connection to your soul and highest self as a legitimate daily spiritual practice you can use anytime, anywhere. Course participants have the option to purchase the tarot deck and guidebook I recommend and use for the course directly from us with free shipping, or you can purchase the required items from another seller if you prefer. To register and see more information on the course and testimonials from those that have completed Tarot for Soul Guidance training with me, go to bit.ly/PaulCHEK workshops. That's bit.ly/PaulCHEK workshops and scroll down to the tarot workshop offering. If you are ready to deepen your connection to your soul and your highest self, have a legitimate spiritual practice, and get support to live your dreams and be the person you came to the world to be, this workshop is for you. I look forward to seeing you in the training.
We have witnessed, and you've probably witnessed, is that people, I think this is a Jungian idea, of people become possessed by ideologies.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we've been in the industry for, you know, better part of three decades.
Yep.
You've been in it longer. And you see the rise and fall of these diet cults.
Oh, yes.
Charismatic individuals, they solve a particular element for the self that gets canonized into a religion of the do's and the don'ts. Yep. And the thou shalt's and the defilers.
And you see and the rise and the falls of the people that make those things,
right,
too.
And so you know, once you you can almost predict what the next rodeo is going to be pretty soon. And we identify right at the first. Well, why does that continuously happen to people? And we look at the bell curve of distribution and individual variability.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top of the bell curve becomes the zealots of that particular dogmatic philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other end of the bell curve becomes the haters, who then become the disciples of the new guru who is condemning that. It's like the breaking apart of spirituality into religions. The religion serves as a premise, a foundation, a directional aspect, but the religion itself becomes a philosophical limitation.
Yeah, it becomes a belief system.
Right. And
a
that
cult.
One has to recognize is, well, what is the payoff egoically that I have about holding this ideology? Now, Matt and I think it's fair to say we both have strong egos.
That's healthy.
And so when early on, when we were personal trainers and we had different philosophies and we're doing experiments, well, we argued about everything and we're pretty good at it. And then we would get to these paradoxes. And it's like, okay, well, we can't really concede the points here. So there's obviously a higher principle. And so over the course of the last two decades, those arguments went into discussions. Those discussions went into experiments. Those experiments revealed a variety of things where we found harmony within all of the dietary philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nuances is the exciting part of self-discovery and what works for you. And in my case, of course, I remember when I experimented with a plant-based diet, that sounded like a crazy radical idea for me growing up in a meat-eating environment and nature and hunting and fishing and all that. And people told me that, well, you can't be a bodybuilder. You can't build muscle on a plant-based diet. You can't be successful as a athlete on that. And I'm going, okay, well, that might be a common belief that's true within the paradigms that are presented to people. So why don't I push that to its extreme and see what happens? And in doing that, you break a few things and you make some mistakes, and you know, that leads to other discoveries. And so I was able to transcend the limitations of beliefs around what you could do on a plant-based diet. And that was an exciting journey for me. It's been an exciting journey. And I feel that I've got a high degree of mastery in that area. And so I want to share those insights, not as a way to promote or advocate people on a plant-based diet, but as a way to share with people who might want to choose a plant-based diet, how they can do it without compromising themselves. Because I would say that of all the dietary philosophies, the plant-based dietary philosophy is trickier than most.
It really is.
It's a really tricky game.
You need a much deeper level of knowledge to do it effectively. And I'm not talking about a guy like you that was a Mr. Universe competitor. I'm talking about, like, you have a reason to be a scientist with this.
Yes.
Because one, you know, you come from genes where your ground froze in the winter.
That's right.
Right? So being a vegetarian is not a natural...
Nope.
Way for a guy with your genetics. Obviously, you've been able to do it successfully and still put on muscle. And you know, you're kind of like the guy that destroys the textbook.
Yeah.
But for the average person out there, like a mother raising kids who thinks making her kids be vegan, that's a very dangerous path. And, you know, without going into a lot of the science, but there's a ton of research showing how it damages children's brains. It causes growth and development disorders. It sets you up for more diseases. So the point I'm making is if a mother's got a belief system in veganism, but she doesn't realize that each soul in those children's bodies is a different soul that has different needs, because if your psychological needs are different, your physiological needs are different. If you are in a situation like I'm describing where you're a parent, you have to have a level of knowledge that very few people will acquire. And so what happens is their ideology actually becomes the slow death of them, where you did the work and had the discipline to do the work and are also, I mean, I've been your friend for a long enough time to know that if the evidence before you said, wait, it's time to start eating some fish or bone broth, you would do it.
100%.
But most people are in a cult relationship with their diet.
That's right.
And that's a great way to become the village idiot that runs around telling everybody how healthy your diet is, but then you also in the next sentence have to say, well, I've been diagnosed with cancer.
Well, that was part of Wade and I's awakening, because I was a keto zealot for a while. He was a plant-based zealot, but we were both successful personal trainers. Now, maybe 70, 80% of our clients had great results. But I remember my first client that failed on a ketogenic diet, skin turned gray, his digestive system was wrecked. People were despite losing weight, people were telling him he looks worse. Wow. And I remember just thinking,
that must have been stressful for you.
It was. I'm like, why is this failing? Mm-hmm. Like I thought it was the truth.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of other clients like that. And after a while, we started cluing in that, well, it's not for everyone.
Right.
And then, of course, now we understand, thanks to nutrigenomics and new emerging science, the tools that can allow us to truly choose the right foods. It's not just the right diet. I think for me, where I'm at today is I'm getting down to optimizing, you know, obviously the source is huge, but, you know, more olive oil. I want more superfoods. I want more nutrients.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things like ginger. Ginger is a powerhouse.
Yes.
You know, can I get 2-3 grams of ginger
turmeric
a day? Yeah, yeah, turmeric. Olive oil is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the thing we want to try to emphasize is being very careful and wary of the fear-mongering and the generalization. Let's take seed oil as an example, because that's probably the biggest demon now, right?
Yes.
So in our lab, we sent pretty much every seed oil you can think of. You know, it was dozens and dozens of different types of seed oil. We tested the fatty acid profile of every single one of those seed oils. So now when you start getting to that level, you realize that, yes, there's some seed oils that will be very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the villain in seed oil is called maldialdehyde. And if you Google that, you'll start seeing a lot of experiments that have been done that shows that it is genotoxic and cytotoxic. It means it'll mutate your DNA and it will kill cells.
Yes.
Here's something interesting. If you take lipases and you break down the maldialdehyde into other fatty acids, it's no longer as damaging or toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where something like CAPEX, somebody's going to go eat some, you know, fried food or whatever, is a good idea from a defensive perspective.
Yes.
But yeah, the deeper and deeper we're going into fatty acids, and it is a very complex world where there's certain fatty acids that are incredibly beneficial.
Yes.
And others that are incredibly toxic and damaging. So that's where the generalization around seed oils are evil is, you know, I don't like it.
And the whole thing with lectins as well, that's another eat right for your type.
Mm-hmm.
Like I must have read 20 articles by Dr. Mercola attacking seed oils. And I think there's a lot of general truth to that and things like you just said are true. But I think that because the ecosystem of the human body is so complex, when I studied parasites, this researcher purposely infected himself with hookworm. And the guy was an asthmatic. Once he was infected with the parasite, his asthma went away. And then when he killed the parasite, his asthma came back. And so I've got a number of different studies showing that there's actually beneficial effects to certain parasite infections and that the body can actually harvest a parasite infection. Another good example is I found with a lot of vegetarians that are not getting enough protein, there's a very high incidence of Ascaris worm infections in them. And so I started wondering, well, my philosophy was, well, they're not getting enough meat, but they can harvest the worm. What's in the worm the body might need? And I found it's very high in C-reactive proteins. And for example, if you take that vegetarian, and I've been through this over and over again, you kill the bugs, and 2 months later, they're back again. And you kill them again. And 2 months later, they got the same infection again. So I'm starting, you know, this is from years of observing. I'm like, okay, there's a reason this is happening. Something's going on that isn't fitting our normal paradigm of what a parasite infection is. Because the normal paradigm is you got to kill all the parasites in your body. Well, I guess what? You're never going to do it. And if you did, you'd probably kill yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the potency of mycotoxins and how they can manipulate interleukins and cytokines and confuse your immune system, which is why I always say, if you got a fungal infection and a parasite infection at the same time, you got to kill the fungus first, because your immune system will never be able to clear the parasites as long as the mycotoxins are wiping it out. And I would say 90% of people have both. Now, I'm only using this point about the parasites to say, here's an example where something that's supposed to be very bad for you turns out to take asthma away. And many, now there's research showing this, there's many different diseases this happens with. And so the point that I'm really driving at, seed oils are bad. Well, are they? What about the people that it actually helps them heal? I mean, I can show you volumes, as you guys know, of people that get healed from, like, cancer patients all of a sudden using flax oil and they heal, or any number of oils.
Yeah.
But if you look at the standard literature, oh, you should never touch that because they've got these various chemicals. And sometimes these poisonous chemicals can actually be used as weapons against pathogens. Mm-hmm. So I think at the end of the day, and I'm not trying to stop you from finishing your conversation, I'm just sharing what I think is important in this regard. I think at the end of the day, we always have to leave the door open for the unknown. We have to keep looking. If a person's not getting a favorable response, we have to keep asking what's causing this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't have tests to look at these things. So we have to do very careful histories. We have to look at, do they have heavy metal toxicity? Like, there can be a lot of weird shit. Like, I've had people with a chemical, I can't remember which one it is right now, but it's very high in styrofoam cups. And I found a lot of people that work at offices that are drinking coffee out of styrofoam cups were getting poisoned by this. And what's the knock-on effect in that? Now, if all three of us had that chemical at a high level, it might cause completely different nutritional imbalances in each of us because of our unique genetics. I had a lady come to me once that had seen, I don't know how many doctors for this weird skin reaction, gut problems, headache problems, a kind of a complex case. And the first thing I did was run an environmental toxicity panel on her, tested for like 150, 170 environmental chemicals. Well, it turns out that she was having an allergic reaction to chemicals that were in her makeup. And as soon as I switched her to organic makeup, within days, all those symptoms disappeared and never came back. So there's just a simple example. When you think of all the underarm deodorants and the colorings and the shit in people's toothpaste and hair dyes and how long that fucking list of chemicals in and outgassing chemicals in your house and in your car and at the workplace, like, there's a lot going on we cannot keep track of. And the point being is, your body actually might need a parasite to balance something or need a toxic oil to fix something. So it takes a fair bit of open-mindedness, takes a fair bit of testing, takes a fair bit of observation, and it takes a fair bit of daily tracking. I have people do, when I'm working with people that are in trouble, they're filling out a daily report for me. I call it the four doctor report. What did you drink? What did you eat? I want to know everything right to the spices. I want to know how much you ate. I want to know what you did for exercise. I want to know what time you went to bed. I want to know how you slept. I want to know what your poop looks like, it smells like, your urine looks like, what your urine smells like. And so I actually am monitoring the biology like a like a university biology lab. I'm okay, these are the inputs that are coming in, and I'm looking at your reactions. I can't do most of these people alone. I have to get guys like you involved and say, okay, what enzymes is the best for this? So I act like an air traffic controller and then take the data and correlate it and say, okay, this doctor says this is causing your cancer. This one says you need this. And this guy says this is an additional factor. And then I sift through the data and make the best decisions I can. And as you know, these types of approaches can get very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to have these general practitioners, and Wade and I are both in that same bucket. Like, you know, we have a PhD chemist, I have a PhD bacteriologist that does, you know, he's got a PhD in probiotics, another guy who's molecular docking. So you get these different geniuses that can drive deep.
Yeah.
But just to throw another variable in this conversation, there's detox pathways. Some people can get away with smoking, drinking, eating stuff, and be able to metabolize, yes, and process those toxins, right?
Yeah.
So for those people, and we're certainly not advocating that, but, you know, they don't need to be as cautious as, yeah, some other people.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the show. You know, people worldwide are not only finding it hard to find organic and free-range, regeneratively farmed animal foods, but as you surely know, it's almost impossible to find anything worth eating in stores, airports, gas stations, or even in the stores that should have real food. Additionally, most children are sent to school to eat microwave-processed, chemically raised, and chemically laden garbage from school cafeterias or out of their lunchbox, simply because most parents just aren't aware of the dangers of commercial food. But the truth is, there are no shortcuts to health and wellness. Unless, of course, you let Paleo Valley do the work for you. Autumn Smith, founder of Paleo Valley, is not only a mother who understands the importance of feeding children wholesome, clean foods, but is a holistic nutritionist who pours her soul into all Paleo Valley products. And Paleo Valley's meat sticks are made from regeneratively farmed animals that are raised with the highest possible standards of care. Paleo Valley's meat sticks are also fermented, which significantly enhances the nutritional quality and flavor of them. My family and I love them and carry them everywhere we go, be it during rides in the car, outings, ski trips, or we put them in the kids' lunchbox and they love them. In fact, many people I know resort to them as a meal when time is tight on the road or traveling by air. I know of no better portable food or snack food anyone can eat without losing quality or satisfaction, and we love sharing them with our guests and students at our Rainbow Workshops. Paleo Valley's meat sticks come in beef, turkey, and pork maple bacon flavor.
To try Paleo Valley's meat sticks, including the brand new grass-fed venison sticks, and save 15% on your purchase, go to paleovalley.com/check15. That's paleovalley.com/check15, and your 15% discount will automatically be applied when you check out. No promo code is required.
I think one thing that we should talk about, Wade, is maybe the, you know, what is nutrification? And just to kind of give the high level, and I'll pass it on to Wade, talk about then the five stages of digestion, because I think most people don't really realize the entire journey and process that food takes,
yes,
to become metabolized.
Yes.
So from a high level, you have three things, right? Consumption, consuming the best food possible,
yeah,
nutrient rich, toxin low. Then you have to break it down.
Which starts in the mouth.
And then, of course, enzymes and all the things Wade will cover. And then you have to assimilate or metabolize,
yeah,
which means these molecules have crossed the blood, you know, intestinal tract.
Small intestine.
It's into your bloodstream, you know, protein or the amino acids become muscle tissue, neurotransmitters, the essential fatty acids become hormones, skin, et cetera. And the glucose becomes energy, or if you eat too much of it, you know, gluconeogenesis into fat.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's really what, you know, nutrification is. But Wade, maybe just talk about kind of those five stages and how to optimize each one.
Yeah, sure. It became obvious to me a long time ago, once I learned through my own trial and error and screwing up my own digestion, that
that's there a good way to learn.
There's a fundamental assumption in all of nutrition, and that is what I put in my mouth gets in my body, and it's a single canal from your mouth to your anus, the elementary canal.
Yeah.
And during that process, there's a variety of things happen. I would say that food actually starts even before you choose. If you look at the Hindu philosophy, your five fingers, the electrical energies that are going on, so taste, touch, the smell of the food, mm-hmm, your favorite food, you begin to salivate even before you get anticipatory neurochemicals from, you know, smelling your favorite foods, getting that.
And also perceptions of.
And
what do you think the food's going to do to you?
Correct.
And for you.
Yeah. And then there's another piece is if you look at the most popular bad foods in America, they're finger foods. But there's another tactile aspect that is getting activated that I think a lot of people eliminate. So chips, fries, burgers, pizzas, you know, all of the, you know, appetizers at restaurants and stuff are what's common about them is people are using their hands.
Yeah.
If you look at other cultures, you share the food on a mesa or like a bunch of plates. We kind of remove that from the North American perception. Yes. So there's cultural dynamics that are involved. But going back to the digestive system, because as we age, the one thing that is very common is the degenerative digestive powers of the organism.
Yes. Hydrochloric acid production dropping, and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then your enzymatic capacity, which is going to vary from individual to individual. So, for example, ketogenic diets were very difficult for me because genetically, I don't metabolize fats very well. And that was the precursor to why Matt created CAPEX, because it had four different lipases. So, we taste, touch, smell, prepare our food, we masticate the food. And this is why I do believe giving a thankful prayer shifts both our physiology as well as projects that energy into the food.
Yes.
We chew it all up. It goes down the esophageal canal into the upper cardiac portion of the stomach. Now, you got 30 to 60 minutes where the enzymes present in the food are supposed to be breaking it down. And now that's the foundational aspect of the whole raw food community.
Yes.
And I did a raw food diet for 2 years, and it was a great elimination diet, very difficult socially. It's very good for developing intuitive awareness about food, but it has some significant limitations. But I, as an experiment, or any kind of restrictive diet, I think, is beneficial for people, an elimination diet, till they get down to the bare bones and then start building up their diet from that, from a bottom down essentials. So then in the upper cardiac portion of the stomach, if you don't have enzymes, well, then your body has to manufacturing that. But some of the key amino acids that are supposed to be broken down there isn't going to happen. And that's going to be later on in the digestive tract, which is suboptimal. You can pour amino acids out of your digestive system in order to make up whole proteins and things like that. So then after that, you have hydrochloric acid coming in. So 30 to 60 minutes after you initially eat. Now, the interesting thing about hydrochloric acid is it does two things. One, it disinfects the food, bacteria, viruses, bugs, whatever you happen to intake that is so suboptimal.
It's a gross killer.
Yeah. And then the other piece is it changes the pH of your food so that some enzymes are activated and some enzymes are deactivated. And most enzyme companies, someone said, well, I tried enzymes that didn't do anything. They don't make a sophisticated enough cultured enzyme product that takes in the pH ranges that are going to change.
Right.
And what particularly your proteins being cleaved into amino acids. You don't need protein. You need the amino acids that can that make up protein.
And just to jump in on that, we in the lab, we do this thing called InfoGest, which simulates the digestive system. And when we rebuilt Mastzymes 4.0, comparing it to not consuming any enzymes, you get 1,200% more amino acids from your protein.
Because you're absorbing it.
Because you're breaking it down.
Yeah, so you can absorb it, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Aminos and peptides, but keep going with.
Yeah, so then after that, that food chime after the digestive, you know, mixture goes, your body will use alkaline minerals to neutralize that acid. And if there's a disbalance there, oftentimes that's where you start getting acid leaking into. You get duodenal ulcers and things like that, which are... These are life-threatening conditions for people.
And painful.
Extremely painful. And a good test is if you take a proteolytic enzyme and it feels painful in the body, you need to get some work because the protease is actually acting on that raw tissue and digesting the tissue. And so it increases that. So things like gastritis and things like that you might need to be mindful of and go through a healing program before you'd use something with a proteolytic enzyme. For those who aren't aware of enzymes, proteases break down proteins, amylases break down carbohydrate, lipases break down fats, cellulase breaks down plant fibers. And I believe that there's families based on that. And we'll get to the bucket theory nutrition at the end of this, and I'll explain the whole philosophy and put into one encapsulation. Then you go into, you know, the intestinal tract, and this is where the good, bad, and ugly bacteria live. And so many of us were conditioned as children in the education system to see bacteria as something evil, bad, and needs to be killed.
That's the Rockefeller paradigm.
Correct. And that's a disservice, because Americans particularly are hyper freaked out about bacteria.
Yeah.
You know, to a point that our medical systems
with antibacterial soap
right, you know, antibiotics are prescribed for everything, even when they're not. And then that's like dropping a nuclear bomb in your microbiome. And
yeah,
but long story short, you have 10% good, 10% bad, and 80% opportunists.
Yeah.
In other words, that microbiome is going to shift and evolve directly correlation to your food and the stress levels of your body. And stress levels could be what you take, what's going on in your life. You know, a traumatic incident, like a car accident or something, can wipe out all your microbiome in a shot. Different medications, all of those things can have an impact. That's part of your environment.
Yeah.
So inside of that, different families of bacteria, this is a symbiotic relationship, and they're actually producing the building blocks and the energy units that our body has. If we don't have bacteria, we don't live.
No.
And if they don't have us, they don't live. So we work together.
Team.
It's a team. And so by feeding the bacteria with the right prebiotic foods, and as well as having the robust level of bacteria, allows you to become more acclimatable to different types of diets. I believe personally that I could adjust to almost any dietary strategy by shifting my enzymes and my bacteria culture and making sure that I can evolve into that without any disruptions. Because anytime you make a sudden change, there's an adjustment period. But if you do it gradually and you do it meticulously, I think you can be successful on almost any type of diet if those foundational principles in. And then finally is the elimination phase. So, you know, your peristaltic contraction is running that whole thing. So if there's something disrupted in your physiology, like you've got a vertebrae out and all of a sudden you're not hydrated properly, you're too dry, then you get things like constipation and diarrhea or incontinence of some sort. And so there could be physiological components that are influencing your digestive capacity. And if you get all those things right, well, then you're going to get the most out of whatever dietary philosophy that you're advocating. As we get older, generally, we need to pay more and more attention on our digestive capacity to extract the nutrients. And that's why so many people have, you know, bought into our foundational suites of digestive enzymes for the various types of diets, hydrochloric acid, and the very probiotic strains. So people go, what's the best probiotic? Well, it depends. the one you need and the one that's more suitable for your dietary goals or objectives or preferences.
Or what you're eating, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's been the foundational. And that's where we found common ground between him keto-centric and me plant-based centric. It's like, oh, okay, so the common ground is our digestive system. And to finish up on the toxicity aspect, because I have suboptimal detoxification genes. My sister died of Hodgkin's disease, cancer of the lymph glands. Mm. And so I really do well on detoxification, things like saunas. I use a HOCAP machine. I fast once a week to make sure that any residual toxins, because, you know, I wrote a book a long time ago called Staying Alive in a Toxic World. I realized in the raw food movement that, well, so many people are very hyper aware of every single toxin, every single nuance and everything. And you can just get into a trap of just being overwhelmed and becoming hopeless with the sheer amount of chemicals that
you
are in there.
You become a toxin to yourself.
Correct. And I went, well, that's kind of a toxic thought.
It is.
And so my spiritual philosophy led into the discovery of this, which was, okay, life adapts to its environment. Life is its own thing.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. These aren't the conditions that create life. Life adapts to the conditions present. That's why we have so many different forms of life. That's why we have birds in the sky, fish in the sea, worms in the ground, people on the planet. All of those things are different life forms, but have adapted to environments that would kill any of the other species. So to me, life is before that. And from a toxic standpoint is if I can optimize my detoxification pathways, in other words, increase my capacity to manage toxicity that we're all exposed to, my long-term health outcomes are going to improve. And so that was a foundational piece of my philosophy that allowed me to be successful in, on a plant-based diet and to be able to give insight to other people, regardless of their dietary philosophy or foundation, what makes them feel best, what they you know, when someone tells me I feel good eating meat, why do I need to disrupt that?
Right.
You know, like, okay, how do we make you feel better?
Exactly. Have I ever told you about the concept I've created called the ECHO principle?
No.
It's an acronym, but it's allegory. E, energy. C, chemistry. H, hydration. O, organisms. So what I found by studying nature and studying water is that in order for any organism or population like bacteria or animals or anything to thrive, it has to have the right energy, the right chemistry, it has to have adequate hydration, it has to have access to the right organisms to feed on. And then from an environmental perspective, if we alter the energy in the environment because we cut a bunch of trees down to build a shopping mall, it'll affect what can live out there, which will also alter the chemistry because now we're clear-cutting, logging, and doing all this other stuff. So that brings a lot of toxic chemicals into the environment. And then we affect the flows of rivers and streams, and we disrupt the ability for the earth and the organisms to hydrate, which changes the profile of the organisms that can live there. So then all of a sudden now our bodies are reacting to the changes we've made in the environment, often not realizing why we're getting sick all the time. So then we actually end up on our own health crisis, and then we have to start looking into it with lab tests and all the things we've just discussed. And we go, oh my God, I've got asbestos poisoning, and I've got, you know, I'm dying because I'm using commercial makeup, and I'm getting styrofoam cups and PCB and can liners. So what I showed is that there's a pendular swing. Whenever we disrupt nature, the pendulum swings back and it disrupts us because we are an ecosystem that has to interface with an ecosystem. And then we make changes in ourselves, and if they're positive, because the things we have to do to make ourselves healthy are almost always favorable for the environment. Eating organic food, it's good for the environment. Taking a bunch of drugs, not good for the environment. You know, you could look through this quite easily and you'll see how it affects everything. But the point is, the pendulum's always swinging back and forth. So I just wanted to bring that concept up because I think it's an important framework that's quite simple in its nature. What's the energies moving through your life, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? What's the chemistry of your body, be it the pH, blood chemistry, all the things that we can look at in a lab? What's the degree of hydration you have? When the first tip for me is I check your pH levels, and that could be urine pH, it could be fecal pH, it could be salivary pH, and then what organisms are you eating? So I think that's just a classification. I think for the listeners, it would be helpful to start looking at those factors because we're always responding dynamically to those four key inputs.
And I think it's a great segue to talk about the microbiome.
Yeah.
You know, we touched on it a little bit, but let's go deeper. So in our lab, we've done thousands of experiments on bacteria, so we do these 6-7 different survival tests, acid survivability. You know, basically, we try to kill them every which way from Sunday. We can see which ones can make it through the stomach and get into the gut. So that's the first thing you have to do. A lot of them will not make it. So that's the first problem if you're buying probiotics. But one of the big things that I feel is not being discussed enough is building healthy biofilm. You know, when people talk about leaky gut,
yes,
basically, those are holes in the biofilm. When you have the right colony and you feed it the right thing. So your framework is a perfect example of that. Bacteria are very much like, you know, each strain is almost like a different animal. They prefer different types of food and they'll thrive if you feed them the right thing.
Yeah.
They will die if you don't.
Right.
Now, in terms of producing biofilm, almost no probiotics produce biofilm. there's two things that will make them produce it. One is you're trying to kill them.
Mm-hmm. So they're choosing it as a protective.
Exactly. And the other one is you give them kind of almost like a perfect environment. And the one product that we have, and it's the best performing product we've ever tested in the lab in terms of biofilm, is Microbiome Breakthrough.
I love it. I use it all the time.
Yeah, that is a game changer. And just to give people the picture, when you have leaky gut, the problem is there's things getting into your bloodstream that cause your immune system to freak out. And now you start getting all these problems. The great news is your gut is so dynamic. Like, you know, probiotics have about a 48-hour lifespan. Now, if you eat some, let's say you eat probiotics and you're eating food with it, it'll take maybe 4 days to completely process the intestinal tract because they double. So it's not that you take probiotics and they stop. They'll actually...
You mean because they're reproducing.
Exactly. They're eating the food and then reproducing, and then they'll leave the body, right? Yeah. But let's say somebody's got leaky gut and start consume a product like Microbiome Breakthrough for a few days. They'll notice by day three, day four, sometimes even day two, that they feel better and a lot of these weird symptoms start disappearing. So last year, I fasted about 40 days total. I did like 8 5-day fast. And there was a problem that I had to fix, which was, you know, when you fast for multiple days, your intestinal tract will start to dry up.
Mm.
Okay. Because the bacteria are starting to basically die. The colonies are starting to die.
They got nothing to eat.
Exactly. So when you start eating food, even if it's, you know, fruit and things like that, which is a good way to kind of break a fast, you'll have turbulence for a couple days sometimes. But when I started taking Microbiome Breakthrough first thing, 2 or 3 scoops, 2 cups of water, down the whole thing in one shot so I can get it into the intestinal tract.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a single issue since.
That's great. Hi, everybody. Today, I have a very special, practical, free offering for you. I suspect you know that low back injuries are the most common of all orthopedic injuries, regardless of age, profession, or what sport people play. And a huge percentage of low back injuries happen while squatting. Squatting is one of the 7 primal pattern movements I identified as essential to our ability to function well in our home, work, recreational, fitness, or sports environments. Most don't realize it, but the squat pattern is one of the most common patterns that lead to low back injuries. We are using the squat pattern when we get in and out of chairs, on and off the toilet, or engage small children. Additionally, to get in and out of a car requires a single-legged squat with a bend and a twist, particularly if you drive a car that's low to the ground, like a sports car, which is a very complex movement for anybody with a weak, dysfunctional core or who has an unresolved back injury from the past, which is exceedingly common, even among world-class athletes. I would love to give you the squat assessment I developed for the students of the Czech Academy so you can identify any muscle imbalances, joint restrictions, or technical flaws that include the need for form correction or corrective stretching, joint mobilization, and specific strengthening. Anybody that wants to heal from back pain, avoid unwanted back pain, enhance work readiness and athletic performance will be well supported by using my free squat assessment checklist. My squat assessment is ideal for any athlete wanting to optimize their performance in the squat. My squat assessment includes 3 key setup assessments, 11 squat execution assessments, a list of key indicators of muscle imbalances, muscle weakness, or joint restrictions. Additionally, once you've downloaded my squat assessment, you will receive a sequence of follow-up videos that will show you how to use it. These instructional videos are not only highly informative, they are also free. To get your squat assessment form and free instructional videos on how to use it to its potential, go to chekinstitute.com/squat-assessment. That's chekinstitute.com/squat-assessment. I'm sure you'll be amazed at how effective this squat assessment is, even if you don't have back pain, and how much it can help you help others. Enjoy.
We talk about P3OM because we talk about probiotics. It's one of the most unique strains, and it's the toughest strain we've ever tested in terms of all the survivability tests.
P3OM stands for powerful proteolytic probiotic. That's what the P3 and OM, well, you can kind of, that's self-explanatory. So our mentor, Dr. Michael O'Brien, was part of the research team that put that together. And what they did is they took a L. plantarum, they put it into a toxic soup, ran a sine wave through that soup, and about 2% of the bacteria survived, but they had mutated. And he got a patent for that mutated strain that became P3OM. And what's unique about that, it's its capacity to resist antibiotics, to resist medication, resist toxins. I can't state all the statements of the patent because that gets you shut down.
When you say you ran a sine wave through, you mean electrical current?
Yes.
Yes, to purposely stress them.
Yeah, so yeah. We call it the Navy SEALs of probiotics. It's like they went through BUDS training and they had to pass, and only certain people can get through that.
Yeah.
The same that. Now, what's also unique is undigested proteins seem to be one of the biggest complications in autoimmune responses. In other words, you're leaking proteins through the gut into the body, and your immune system is saying, oh no, we've got invaders, we got viral invaders, we've got some sort of toxins that we got to go over, and you get these inflammatory responses that are chronic in nature.
Well, also undigested protein is the fastest way to get a parasite infection because they feed off that.
That's right. The bad guys will feed on those undigested proteins. And so P3OM became like the king of probiotics because undigested proteins. And the more protein you eat, the more likely that's going to happen. Now, the other piece of it was what was unique about that, going back to what I was able to discover on a plant-based diet. When I was competing in bodybuilding contests, I was using the classic 1 gram per pound of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
But the assumption was is that you're getting 1 gram of amino acids.
That's a big mistake.
Big mistake. And so what would happen is there was a limit to what you could consume as a bodybuilder. And if you talk to any professional bodybuilder or strength athlete or someone who needs to push their muscle mass to a disproportionate level, they'll say the diet is the hardest part, getting sufficient amount of proteins to recover. Now, a lot of people are using anabolics and stuff to increase protein synthesis. And so they're changing things on a cellular environment, but on a digestive system, if you look at how many bodybuilders die early or develop gastrointestinal issues that stop their careers, and those are people on the extreme muscle building level, I was like, well, wait a second. Well, how much of this protein are they actually getting? So over the course of 4 years, from 2003 to 2007, using P3OM along with Masszymes in combination, I was able to maintain my muscle mass and compete again at the World Championships 4 years later on a raw food diet, eating only 85 grams of plant protein a day, and was able to recover from my workouts, which is the same as in 2003. At that point, I realized that we had kind of cracked the code on extracting the amino acids out of the protein that we're eating, regardless of the source of protein.
That's fantastic.
And from that, that made me more confident to be able to advocate a plant-based performance diet. And those are different than just a health diet, and to make those distinctions.
And is that kind of stuff in the book?
We touch on it a bit when we break down the pros and cons of the different types of diets, you know, to kind of say every diet has advantages and disadvantages. And of course, I've done a lot of interim work for people who are specific going down that route, because I said it's a tricky area and you really need individual specialization for that individual, because there's too many variables to just make general assumptions. Essentially, if you were to break down the strategy we employed, is kind of like what Elon Musk is doing on his vision for Mars, is if you can reduce the constraints to what sustains life, and in this case, it was what can sustain you on a plant-based diet, for example. There's a tremendous amount of constraints, and then also going into muscle building, which was contradictory to the public perception and the general accepted practices amongst most nutritionists. I was able to break that paradigm, and then from that, you can apply that paradigm to other types of dietary styles if you're concerned about getting amino acids. And of course, as we age, our protein requirements goes up. So even though I take a wide array of, digestive enzymes, our whole suite, and probiotics of various strains, and I ensure that I have sufficient hydrochloric acid levels, I've noticed now in my 50s, I can't maintain my muscle mass on 85 grams. I've got to go to 120. So just over the course of my own years, despite all those perfect conditions, even then there's a degenerative component that I've noticed now. I've got to bump it up to 120 and even sometimes 150 to, if I'm really, really pushing hard, like last year when I did the Olympia at 50, I was like, okay, I really had to do it. And what was really weird is I needed even more protein, higher levels when I started endurance training.
So I did a lot of trauma.
Yeah. So I went to, and it took me about 6 months to recover. I did 6 months from the Olympia to do my first marathon. So from zero to marathon in 6 months. Some of the applications that I had on a bodybuilding diet didn't apply on the endurance side. So my weight actually went up, and it was all body fat gain. You know, it was like 13 pounds of body fat from my contest condition to when I ran the marathon. And my hunger, my nutritional requirements changed, all that stuff. And even though carrying that extra weight was suboptimal, I just didn't have that codes figured out. So we've been working on refining that model from an endurance model. I don't think I've mastered it yet. We're still ongoing experiments. So that's a conditionary
more marathons.
Yeah. Well, same physiology.
Yeah.
Different outcome.
Yeah.
Now my dietary paradigm, even though I've mastered it here, it's not totally applicable to that. So that's another influential factor.
Yes.
That is, you know, what is your goal? And we talk about that. What's your goals? What's your lifestyle?
As you age and your protein requirement goes up, and I would imagine that's more for men than women. Am I correct in there?
I think it's universal. I think the more muscle mass that you have, the more apparent it becomes because of changes in your physical appearance as you age, the muscle tone, your strength, the more that you have, or the more in tuned you are to that process, the more likely you're going to notice declines in that or declines in your abilities.
See, a lot of people as they age get more and more sedentary, so they probably wouldn't notice it as much. I mean, you know, we're all... How old are you, Matt?
46.
46. You're 52?
Yeah, I'll be 52 in a couple months.
And I'm 62. So, I mean, I've noticed changes in my body, but the point I wanted to make is one of the tricks and why I think, you know, you guys have the solution for this is as people age, their digestive capacity gets weaker.
That's exactly what I was.
So you got this problem because you need more protein, but you got less capacity to metabolize it and break it down.
There's one thing we need to upgrade there, which is we need more amino acids.
Yeah.
And that's where the enzymes, hydrochloric acid, and even P3OM, as we touched upon, there's only two probiotics we've tested in the lab that are proteolytic, which means they'll actually consume protein, break it down into amino acids. So, you know, it's really about getting amino acids and then also metabolizing them in the body. And that's why we're big fans of taking Mazzymes in an empty stomach. So we get the proteases into our bloodstream and they can have additional or different benefits that way as well.
I think there's a lot of diseases and poor health because people have too much dead protein in their bloodstream and in their lymphatic system. I think it just turns the body into a sewer.
Well, one of the current theories as far as what kills supercentenarians is protein agglomeration in the cells. So basically, just this accumulation of protein in the cells that eventually makes the cells stop working properly, and then basically they die. So there's a good book that's one of the theories they
well Panchakarma, you know, the traditional Ayurvedic detoxification protocol, you know, pounds all these fats and herbs into the cell to start pushing out that toxic environment. And, you know, people are spending a week on it, say a 21-day cleanse where they're just vomiting and they're, you know, having mad diarrhea as part of their detoxification because there's so much buildup of these toxins intracellularly. You know, how the Ayurvedic masters knew that information is pretty interesting when you go to the Panchakarma detoxification pathway. So that's also why so many people get on an elimination diet. I think it activates their detoxification pathways for a while and enough time goes by. But again, so, and then a lot of people, and I saw this in the raw food environment so much, is they started reducing their options down to such a restrictive, then they become damaged from the restrictiveness of their, so that which healed them at first, they misidentified
the diet problem,
you know, so that they thought, oh, well, I'm going to restrict myself more and more and more until now, though they can have as like, you know, one olive or an orange every week And I had a guy that only ate apples for a year because he was so restrictive. If he had a piece of garlic or onion, he would lay down on the floor and almost be spastic because his capacity to handle food at that point had been radically compromised. And I was like, well, who wants to live like that? Yeah. You should be able, as you get healthier, I personally believe, you can expand your options. And that's kind of what we did the book for is, don't get limited by the paradigm. Understand the principles. Choose a diet that's suitable, that's simple and easy for you to follow socially, psychologically, culturally, spiritually, whatever those values are, which are the base of our pyramid of hierarchy of nutritional values, and then set your goal from that. Now your directional goal, we have five different types of goals inside of that paradigm, you know, building muscle, losing body fat, improving cognitive performance, brain optimization, and longevity.
Yeah.
And we typically go through these different phases. Most people are attracted into fitness and nutrition through aesthetics. They want to look better and be more sexually attractive to the other species. That's a very profound component of our DNA. It wants to pass through time. And then you get to, you know, life and work and, you know, responsibilities of family. And it's like, well, you know, my health gets compromised. That hurts everybody. So I got to really focus on health. It doesn't matter if I got, you know, a 20-inch arm or, you know, a six-pack. Yeah. I need to just keep this thing upright to keep the show going.
Well, you can be a fit, sick person. I've had thousands of them as patients.
Well, the bodybuilding industry's fraught with sick, high-performance people. Well,
guys dying in their 40s.
Yeah.
A lot of champions have passed away.
Yeah. Many sports.
And then finally, we get to the equation, which is the two parts that I think Matt and I are most into right now, and that is maintaining and improving of cognitive health, as well as what do we need to do to stay on the planet contributing to our mission as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's the longevity or the part of the ideology, and that's a fun game to play.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, if you're not playing the game, then it shortens the game.
Correct.
You know,
yeah, well, you're playing the game whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
There's only two ways you can buy time. One of them is, you know, you hire people, which is what you do in business, and you know, you got a lot of help here, for an example. You know,
and you hope that they're good.
You hope that they're good, or you take care of your health and you live longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's also not just living longer, but it's really quality of life. And
yes.
And I think right now, if everybody on the planet just did the basics, they slept well, they moved every day, ate good nutritious food, you know, lifespan might be much closer to 100 than it is to 80.
Yeah.
And I think as we, you know, go deeper and we're learning more and more, we have more powerful tools, like, you know, all the testing things we're talking about. You're fixing things and you're aware of potential downfalls and you start fixing those early enough in life,
mm-hmm.
110, 120 is probably possible. And I think that in the next, you know, couple of decades, there's going to be new advancements we can't think of. You know, genetic therapies are being used now. You got full statin therapy. Mm-hmm. So all these new tools and technologies, whether it's stem cells, V cells, genetic therapies, are coming online that could potentially add decades of high quality life to, you know, the average person. So that's what excites me the most. And as a company, you know, we focus on supplements right now, but we are committed in the next few decades to provide, build, market, whatever it takes to help people, you know, really push the boundaries of health and longevity.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because of the kind of the cultural environment that most cultures have reached now with the industrialization of the food supply and the chemicalization of the environment. But one of the things that I think is important is, you see, I was a competitive athlete as a child, and I began paying attention to nutrition very early in my life as a competitive fighter. And, you know, you when you have to weigh in, you have a real definite feedback mechanism, and you also have a body, and if you eat certain things that make you hurt and you don't recover, you notice it fairly quickly, unless you're just not very smart. But the point I'm driving at is that a lot of people don't get involved in these kinds of paying attention and testing until they're really sick.
Yes.
And they learn late, and it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So what I find is these people, if they have the money, just keep renting out their problems to doctors, hoping someone's going to fix them. But you see, athletic people like us develop a habit of paying attention to and caring for. So it actually becomes part of our natural routine, our way of relating to our body and looking at the food and thinking about things like, do I have access to good water? If I'm going to go somewhere, what do I need to bring with me? Like, I don't go anywhere without P3OM. I encourage everyone, don't go to friends' house, don't go to restaurants, don't go to foreign countries without P3OM.
Quick comment on that too. In the lab, and we knew this because we had experienced it in our customers as well, it kills E. coli. So if you got food poisoning,
yes,
take like 10 capsules and another 10 capsules 30 minutes later, and what would typically take 36 hours to clear out of your body is gone in an hour, maybe 90 minutes.
I had some chicken basil sausages and they didn't get cooked thoroughly enough. And I kind of should have put them back in the pan and cooked them longer. Mm-hmm. But I was in a rush and I thought, they don't taste that bad, but I could taste there was raw chicken in them, raw meat, And within 20 minutes of eating, I had so much freaking gas and my belly was so swollen that if I tried to draw my belly button and it was just excruciatingly painful, I'm like, I have got a bacterial infection going on right here from that raw chicken meat. And so I put 5 P3OMs in my mouth, chewed the capsules to break them open, drank the water, and literally within 10 minutes, I had no pain at all. And the gas was dissipating. And within 20 minutes, it was like it never happened.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. I love my kids, and I'm sure you love yours too. That's why I'm thrilled to announce that Organifi has just released their new kids line, Organifi Kids, with 2 initial offers to address the most common needs of children today, Easy Greens and Protect. I can't tell you how important these products are, considering that most children today are not getting enough greens to meet their nutritional needs, not to mention the fact that our children literally are our future. I recently watched an interview with Zen Honeycutt, founder of Moms Across America. She and a panel of experts exposed the fact that most kids' school lunch programs contracted out to fast food corporations, and if that's not bad enough, she ran lab tests on a significant number of kids' school lunches and found that not only was the food very devitalized, but that it was absolutely loaded with high levels of many dangerous pesticides, including glyphosate. As I show in my book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy, most of these pesticides not only disrupt normal hormonal function, they can also cause abnormal growth and development and are commonly linked to cancer, and we have the highest rates of cancer in children in history right now. Organifi's Easy Greens and Protect for Kids are made with organic ingredients and custom formulated for kids 2 and older. Additionally, these excellent, much-needed products are formulated for daily use. The main benefits of the new Kids Easy Greens includes daily superfood greens and gives your child optimal nutritional diversity, and the everyday nutrition in Kids Easy Greens fills common nutritional gaps. Kids Easy Greens is also formulated to support digestive health, which many children need today. The main ingredients in Organifi Kids Easy Greens are nutrient-rich veggies, including carrot, broccoli sprouts, spinach, and beet, superfoods moringa and chlorella. Digestive support includes digestive enzymes, probiotics, and fiber. Additionally, Organifi's new Protect for Kids offers fast-acting immune support formulated for kids that is gentle enough for daily use. So with Organifi Protect for Kids, you can rest assured their immune system is always being supported. The main ingredients that Protect offers for your kids are orange and acerola cherry, powerful sources of vitamin C and antioxidants, astragalus, a potent adaptogenic root used to support and boost the immune system, elderberry, an antioxidant plant nutrient that supports the body's defenses against illness. Propolis, the bodyguard of the beehive, can help naturally prevent sickness and naturally modulate the immune system. These excellent kids' products not only taste fantastic and are low in sugar, they're very easy to use. Just add them to a glass of water or your favorite juice and stir. To get your kids the nutrition and immune support they need and deserve, go to Organifi.com/CHEK20. That's Organifi.com/CHEK20. And on checkout, use the promo code capital C, capital H, capital E, capital K, 20 for 20% off. It gives me great joy knowing I can help you find excellent organic nutrition and immune support for your children so they can be as healthy as my kids are.
One of the things I wanted to talk about that I think still strangely and utterly a problem after all these years is, you mentioned it in the beginning of the podcast, calories was mm-hmm. one of the things. Mm-hmm. We still have a calorie counting culture, and people don't realize a calorie is not a measure of nutrition. It's a measure of energy. Mm-hmm. You can get a lot of calories and a lot of energy from sugar, but it can deplete your nutrition resources very, very fast if it's processed sugar, and so can many other things. And so people have got to realize that you can't use a calorie counting model for making sound nutritional decisions. The other thing is that most people don't realize it takes approximately 55% of all the calories you eat just to run a food from mouth to anus. Just the work of digestion, metabolism, assimilation, and elimination. And I have this in my book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy, burns up on average 55% of our calories. So when you're an athlete, you don't, many, my point is, many people are calculating what they're eating based on what they're doing, but they're forgetting that 55% of what you're eating is actually used just to keep the lights on in the factory running. So if you have a lot of stress inside, or you are eating food that's got low nutritional values, your body can actually be short on resources while you're high on calories.
That reminds me of the observation I made on the power of fasting as well as longevity studies. In longevity studies, the one thing that they've all come to the conclusion is eat less.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of doesn't make sense on some level other than what you just said, is the exhaustion of energy production. So what takes a lot of energy in digestion? The production of enzymes that aren't present in your food.
Yes.
When a tiger eats a zebra, it gets the enzymes with the nutrition. When a horse eats the grass, it gets the enzymes with the grass.
Yes.
Our food, we don't have that. So I said, okay, well, man, I'm good at fasting, but I really like eating. And I really want to live a long time. So if I start taking more enzymes with my food, I'm going to reduce my energetic cost.
Yeah.
That was demonstrated when I could eat 85 grams of protein instead of 200.
Yeah.
So I had a fuzzy logic that became more refined in what was that, how far could I go down with maintaining performance, and then apply that. And so I believe that, and that kind of leads to Dr. Howell's research when he fed the animals, the different animals, high amounts of enzymes, raw food, and then cooked food. And the ones that ate the raw food lived longer than the cooked food. And the ones that ate the enzymes, they lived longer. And then a third generation, the problem that started to happen with the animals was strange social behaviors if they had an enzymatically deficient diet.
Yeah.
They had the increase of genetic-based diseases and the loss of reproductive capabilities.
Yeah, that's exactly what Pottinger found with the cat study. Pottinger's cats.
Right. And he predicted back in the 40s or 50s that that was going to happen to the population. Yep. Now you have entered conventional farming.
Yeah.
Invented all these chemicals.
Yeah.
An acceleration of that process.
Pasteurization.
Right. And here we are with people. Look at, you know, fertility clinics going up. Look at the explosion of genetic-based diseases.
Yep.
And just go on social media and you can see the strangeness of social behaviors permeating everywhere.
Oh my God. When the disease of confusion of diet, lifestyle, and pollution of the environment ends up in people that control your life, you get a lot of psychopathic behaviors. But we don't notice it so much when it's the guy that takes the garbage out or weeds your garden. because they're not raising your taxes or telling you what vaccinations you have to have or can't have or what you can eat or locking you in your house. My point is, and you know, I just showed you a book on food and behavior that looks exactly at all this stuff and shows how radical food affects your behavior. Then you got all the effects of the changing profile of the microbiome, the hormonal production or lack of production, and the psychological effects of that. So my point is, we're actually living in a world where you can actually see the damaging effects on the psychological function of human beings most thoroughly by the people that are in charge of people's lives, because they're making decisions that are absolutely destructive to the social harmony of a culture, of families, of education, of health. And it's as though we have developed an autoimmune disorder and we're now all attacking each other, and we're putting all this money into security against each other instead of a national enemy. It's now everyone's your enemy. So what's happening in our immune systems and our bodies is being projected into our psyches, which is then echoing back to us from the environment. And ultimately, this could all be cleaned up by cleaning up the water, cleaning up the soils, stopping all the bullshit with food tricks, get rid of the dangerous chemicals that are not necessary in farming, and we would change the fucking world.
I've never seen a spiritually aware, healthy, vibrant tyrant in my life. They don't match.
No.
So usually that person is suffering from a disharmony in themselves and are projecting that through their sphere of influence, which essentially means they're possessed by a suboptimal ideology that they're trying to enforce on people who are on the other side of that equation. Yeah. And then, you know, the emergence of leaders like yourself are the bulwark against that tyranny.
Then
that
you always
emerges.
Have to worry about if you're going to be the next Jesus hung on a tree and killed because you're going against the paradigm by trying to teach sick people how to get healthy, and they accuse you of being...
Well, we just witnessed that.
Yeah.
On mass, which interesting is if you look at the ARC group founded by Dr. Peterson, the Association of Responsible Citizens.
Yeah.
What was interesting, he said, I think it was Eric Weinstein was talking on a recent podcast, and he said, well, here's the great news. The tyrannical aspects pushed all of the smart people
together
out of the equation, and they've all come together. Yeah. So that group, I says, I like our odds about changing the planet. So I think it's important to maintain a sense of optimism despite whatever current circumstances locally or, you know, externally that we're subjected to. It's bringing more people into the fold. There's more people now aware of their health, their vitality. There's more mistrust in tyrannical authoritarianism.
Yeah.
And these, you see the protests emerging out of the world. And who is it coming from? It's coming from the hobbits, the farmers, the truckers, the people affected by the saying, hey, you know what? Stop.
Who they're trying to wipe out.
Correct.
I mean, they're trying to kill off the farmers. I mean, the protests, I just saw a news report of cops shooting rubber bullets at farmers protesting because they're trying to, you know, protect our food supply. So they're, you know, locking them up and putting them in jail. I mean, this like we're actually seeing the mirror in our psyche of our internal health.
So there's another important point here. United States, for an example, now they're attacking peptides, and the alphabet agencies are trying to take that away. But my message is, you can take a plane ride to a lot of places and get treatments that you could never get here.
Right.
You know, in Panama, for an example.
Mexico.
Panama, where I live, they do certain types of stem cell treatments that you could never get here.
And Colombia.
Colombia as well. Mexico's picking up steam.
Yeah. Indonesia.
So, you know, but my point is for everybody listening, if there's certain tools that are being restricted, you still have the freedom to take a plane ride and go somewhere else and get it.
You pretty much have to take your life into your own hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the most dangerous things you can do today is turn your health over to a doctor. I tell people never go to sick people for health advice.
Or a government agency, the food pyramid.
Oh my God, yeah.
go to a medical hospital and they talk about, they call us nutritionists charlatans.
Yeah.
And you see what they're feeding people that have gone through heart surgery or this or that. And it's like, where is the science in this goop?
Lucky, there is Lucky Charms is good for you.
No, it's a financial model so that they can make as much money as possible out of that patient. It has nothing to do with them recovering, regenerating. Because if they're slower to recover, guess what? Yeah. They're in the hospital longer.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. It's all very well thought out business plan. It's like when Angie was in the hospital due to complications, she had to have a C-section. And breakfast was one of those little tiny boxes of cornflakes that you get on an airplane with pasteurized toxic milk and a commercially raised banana, so a Molotov cocktail of chemicals. When we got the bill, guess what the bill from the hospital was for that little tiny box of cornflakes? $35. Yeah, $35.
Which is criminal.
That's totally criminal.
That's criminal. 100%. In its nature, and I think people have to be aware of that. Now, that's not to disparage doctors who are performing the surgeries. You have to realize, and with the Peterson judgment that happened in Canada recently, where the board of psychologists
made him go back to school.
Well, deemed him. Well, the ruling at the government in the court was very interesting because it said that his rights to free speech were actually violated, his rights as a citizen. But because he's a psychologist and a member of this institutional board, it was okay because he's held to a higher standard. Now, wait a second. The person who has that level of qualifications should be the person that gives you the best, you know, advice or contrast to what's coming from a government. They're most qualified to criticize that.
Yes.
But now anyone that's attached to a board, a regulatory board, or a society because of their level of expertise now has less rights than the person who doesn't. So this is an inversion of truth. It's an inversion of what makes sense.
And, if you want to cripple a population, then just gag the smart people.
Correct.
Gag the smart people so nobody can tell you the truth. And that's what censorship's all about. And isn't it funny that Jordan Peterson's probably one of the most highly regarded and respected psychologists in the world, and they're sending him back for basic psychological training.
Yeah, social media training when he's the most successful social media psychologist in the world. Which is, you know, and what's the standards and how they're going to do that? I don't think that's going to go well for those guys. He's a real handful for them. But it serves a greater purpose because if someone of that level of acumen, understanding, empathy, compassion, is out there in the world and saying, hey, we need to pay attention to these things. I've studied totalitarian regimes for a long time. Maybe we want to learn from the past. And he just recently testified in Washington on these things and what happened in Canada and how to for our citizens to become aware of the creeping tyranny of the administrative state. Now, how does that relate to our diets? Well, many of the dietary belief systems that you learned in school, that you learned in biology class, that you learned in university nutrition, are derivatives of these tyrannical organizations of administrators who, whether they mean well or maybe they mean well or not, they're just uninformed.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they got to go see a guy like you to understand how do I eat, move, and be healthy.
Well, not only uninformed, they're uninformed, often obese, very sick, have sick children, are often on many medical drugs. I mean, you're talking about what would be safe to say the most unhealthy people trying to determine what is healthy for us.
Yes, they're not qualified, period, end of story.
No, no matter what degrees they have, there's no better proof than the body that you wear and the mind that you have and the heart that you have and the life that you live. That's why I often quote, never judge a man by the creed he or she professes, but by the life he or she leads. There is no better evidence. Like, I'm a 62-year-old athlete. I'm still able to do the things I did in my 30s. That doesn't matter how smart or not smart I am. I can go out to the gym or to the rock garden or to the running track or wherever you want to go and say, this is the results of my living philosophy. And I think if we held people to a performance standard that is much more objective than the academic organizations and standards, which are really more memorization and confirmation to somebody else's cult, we would turn the whole situation around top to bottom.
Yeah, my definition of a charlatan is somebody that's telling you what to do, and they're not living that.
That's
they
for
have
sure.
not integrated that. So, you know, and there's just a lot of that going
on.
Well,
it's a key example of why we went through the different dietary philosophies, so that you could see, helps you give a lens to filter out the junk from the truth,
yeah.
and then apply your own intuitive experimentations on it, and getting the you do need appropriate experts,
mm-hmm.
but those experts usually come from references of small groups of people. For example, a Czech practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met a Czech practitioner that I saw living out of alignment. I've noticed that there is a commitment to health. There's an understanding of health. There's a practice of it in their life. So whether they're a nutritionist or they're a medical doctor who's gone through the Czech Institute, I go, okay, I know that foundationally and fundamentally that person's sound. So I'm going to trust the expertise that they spent these years for much greater than someone who might have even what's considered by the regulatory agents more expertise, but not applied expertise.
Yeah.
That's one of the great services. I think you told us today it was over 60,000.
63,000 people have been through the Institute.
Yeah, what a service to mankind that's been.
I'd love it if you would give an overview of your nutrition Bible, because we've talked about a lot of things and we've had a lot of conversations on a lot of things that are very, very important. But I think for the listener, it would be really good to sort of have an understanding of, you know, why would they want to buy this book?
Yeah, I think there's something in here for absolutely everyone.
Yeah, it's a big book.
So we start out by talking about why diets fail,
yeah.
which is really important.
Yes.
We talk about why pretty much every diet works for a while, but many of them typically fail. We talk about that. We talk about the five goals: building muscle mass, losing body fat, athletic performance, cognitive performance, and living a long, healthy life. And we broke down the book into those five goals. So for each one of those goals, there's almost 200 pages of content just for fat loss. So if somebody struggled with that, they can just read that mm-hmm. and pretty much get everything they need. Everything from the psychological side, the emotional side, which I think when you look at nutrition, you can't just look at the nutritional part.
No.
The psychological and the emotional side is just as important. I mean, most people that are obese are using food as an emotional coping mechanism.
Yes.
Right?
And it's the psychological side that's making the decisions of what foods they eat.
Exactly.
So there you go. It's a feedback loop. Sick body, poor decisions. Poor mm-hmm. decisions, sick body, whether yeah. it be overweight, whatever it is. So you always have to have that two-pronged approach. You got to deal with the behavioral apparatus,
mm-hmm.
the belief system, the perceptual apparatus, the spiritual orientation, and then you got to deal with the foundational health principles of the body.
Then the next section is like every diet decoded. So we decode keto, you know, plant-based, raw food, paleo, if it fits your macros, which it's worked incredibly well for building muscle and getting people lean. So we cover kind of the pros and cons of each one. And then we wrap up with what we call, you know, universal nutritional optimizers, which things like digestive health, no matter what diet you're on, if you optimize your digestive system, you're
yeah.
going to be healthier.
Yes.
You know, nutrigenomics, you're going to be healthier. Then we cover kind of all of the bad guys of nutrition, from leaky gut to nightshades to certain things people have probably never heard of, which only apply to a small percentage of the population. And one of the things that drives Wade and I, it's a little bit crazy, are these, you know, health nutritional experts going on social media and demonizing certain things, whether it's phytic acid or whatever the latest enemy is, because, you know, those are problems for a very small percentage of the population
yeah.
if they overdo it,
yeah,
which almost never happens.
Yeah.
So we're here to kind of just educate people and stop the fear mongering is really one of our goals. And then we wrap up. But, you know, I'd say one of our main goals is we want to give people nutritional freedom.
Yeah.
You know, because if you start going on Instagram, TikTok, and you fall into those echo chambers, you're going to leave with more fear than empowerment.
And
right?
confusion.
Yes.
A tip I would throw in there too for people, the first place to look is the food you eat the most. That's usually where your culprits are at. So like for me, when I have people that eat a lot of nuts, for some reason I've had just a slew of patients that just practically live off nuts. They graze on nuts all day. And if they have poor enzyme performance or not enough raw food in their diet or their stress has weakened their digestive ability, then I tell them you got to soak those nuts and break the phytic acids down and see how you do. And if that doesn't do, then you got to take time off. We got to build your digestive ability back up. We got to get you on the right enzymes. So the key point is the culprit's almost always in the food you eat the most, because that's what your immune system's most likely to be reacting to.
Yeah, rancid fats, for example, yes. In nuts is one of the predominant problems with nuts. And I love nuts, but you have to be mindful of the quality of the food that you're putting in, which goes back to one of your foundational principles.
Yeah, it's true. Hi, I hope you're enjoying the podcast today. If you've listened to my podcast before, chances are good you've heard me bragging about how amazing a product Bioptimizer's P3OM probiotic is. It's the ultimate secret weapon for knocking out food poisoning, and I found it super effective for stopping most anything that causes gut distress quickly. For example, a couple of times now I've eaten fish that was in the refrigerator a little too long and got bloating, gas, and intestinal discomfort. As soon as I felt these symptoms coming on, I took 5 capsules of P3OM and continued to eat 5 more with each meal, and the symptoms cleared up in as little as an hour from when I took the first P3OM capsules. My buddy Wade Lightheart, one of the formulators of P3OM, calls it the Navy SEAL of probiotics, and he's right.
Bioptimizers is offering you 10% off P3OM and all their other products. Plus, there are always amazing gifts with purchase. So to find out what these are and save 10% on your order, go to bioptimizers.com/living4D and use the promo code PAUL10 when you check out. That's bioptimizers.com/living4D and the promo code is PAUL10.
You know, Matt and I made an unbreakable commitment to health and vitality. And we've committed our lives to that. We've committed our company to it. We put our time, our effort, energy into this. Why did we do that? Well, we learned a long time ago when we were personal trainers and we had the capability and the know-how to transform people's life. We never lost that juice, if you will, from doing something to help someone else. And that's why we wrote the book. That's why we make the products. That's why we have the company. And with that, there's something really powerful to recognize in that process. Why do we feel good when we help another person? Mm. When we help them resolve a real challenging aspect in their life, something that they've struggled with, that they don't want their kids to inherit, that their loved ones are affected and they're scrambling for ideas. I remember that when my sister was dying of cancer and my parents were putting everything they had into it and they were listening out to all the experts and there was nothing they could do. And I've talked to them extensively and I talked to my sister in that dying process and it impacted me in such a great way that your health and your vitality, your health is not a guarantee, your life is not a guarantee. And getting these things in order and protecting yourself and being able to discern between what's right for me and what's not right for me, how I can address that with confidence. And what we've put in there is a set of tools that will help you to not get duped by a well-meaning professional who has a limited paradigm.
Yes.
That you can be your own doctor. These people are working for you, not against you. But they're all limited. I'm limited. Matt's limited. You're limited. Yeah. We only know what we know. And there's a tremendous amount of things. And we all have discovered that the more you know, the more that you realize that you don't.
Yeah.
But that feeling of transferring the value of health and vitality to other people and seeing people's lives transform, seeing people get healthier, have more vitality, be able to deal with the stresses of life, the oversight, the tyranny, the whatever that they're facing at this life, and that sense of hopelessness and helplessness that they may be experiencing right now. Here's a tool that we've spent our entire lives you know, concentrating into a set of principles of if this, then try this.
Yeah.
And that's what this book's about. That's what our whole mission's about. And we're just so grateful to be on your podcast.
Oh, I'm grateful to have you. Thank you. It's such a diverse and rich conversation. And what I love about it is we all have a lot of experience. You know, it's not like we're wet behind the ears people that have a fanaticism that we're trying to promote. You know, it's this way or you're wrong. It's, you know, there's truth in everything to some degree. And so there's even some things that are very true, but just don't work for you.
That's right.
Yeah. It's almost 100 years of combined nutritional experience here.
Yeah.
You know, I did my first diet when I was 15 years old. So
wow.
And weighed, you know, it's been at it for 30 years and you've been at it for probably 40. So,
yeah, well, you know, my mother's a yogi and was very diet savvy. And, you know, I was raised on a farm where we harvested our own crops and or slaughtered our own animals. And so I learned about diet, but first of all, by having to take care of animals, because you have to know a lot about diet and supplementation to keep animals healthy. So from the time I was a child, I was learning that you get too much of that, it causes trouble. You don't have enough of that, it causes trouble. And this is why I think it's so important to ground children in the basics. And one of the most dangerous things for children is parents that are lost. They don't have a sense of direction. They don't really know what they're doing. And so if kids don't have parents that understand the kind of foundation principles you're talking about in your Ultimate Nutrition Bible, then those kids grow up developing habit patterns and beliefs that ultimately lead them to a shorter life and an uncomfortable life.
Yeah. I'm feeding my baby girl Microbiome Breakthrough, P3OM, and Magnesium Breakthrough, and
yeah,
it's working magic.
We use all your products with our kids.
So to close up, it's the book provides you a set of tools to say, is it right for me? Is it right for me right now? And what's right for you right now may not be what's right for you in the future.
Yeah.
To give yourself the flexibility to move into a different dietary paradigm, to extract the gold, integrate it into your body, into your system, into your diet philosophy, as well as if you are a practitioner or a nutritionist that have come up with those unsolvable riddles that don't fit your paradigm, here's a reference guide for you to say, hey, let's go look in here and I can now stimulate some more investigation, because every challenge is an opportunity. And for all those who are going through those challenges, we provide this service to you. Our products are the same way. They all have a 365-day guarantee. Mm. In other words, if it doesn't work for you, if you didn't get any value from it, we'll happily return your money so you can deploy it. But I think there's something valuable for everybody in there. And we'd love to hear how it impacted your students, the people listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Put it on your shelf. Take it off the shelf when you come up with one of those challenges. And it's our gift to you.
Thank you.
And we'd love to hear from everyone who's had a positive experience from it. And also a negative experience. What don't we know? I welcome those challenges as much, because that spurs us on to the next set of investigations and experiments.
I think one thing I would say to conclude the podcast is that we have to realize that education is a form of nutrition. And if you don't have a good basic education, you have a nutritional deficit, meaning that if you don't understand the kinds of things we're talking about and what you share in your book here, the Nutrition Bible, that you have a nutritional deficit at the level of intelligence. And ultimately, the world and the universe is created out of energy and information and frequency, and food is energy, information, and frequency, and we are energy and information and frequency. And if we don't have the awareness of what energies, what information, and what frequencies create coherence or harmony or stability, then we can have a PhD in nutrition and be an obese, unhealthy person. And I've seen this 1,000 times, as of both of you. So I think from a general perspective, one could look at this book as education nutrition. And, you know, like a physician has a physician's desk reference to look up pathologies and what drugs work for it. I think this is more like a correlate, but it's a health reference, a diet and lifestyle health reference guide that you can say, well, you know, I'm not feeling good. I've been eating on such and such a diet. Let me look in the book and see what some of the options are. And like you said, what are the pros and cons? because it's very hard to get this information without a bunch of bias on it.
Well, that was our main goal. We wanted to write the most complete, unbiased nutrition book that was ever written.
Yeah.
And I think we accomplished it. And by the way, if people prefer video as a form of information, energy, and frequency, we filmed all of the content in a video format.
Oh, good.
Beautiful video editing. So if people click the link, and of course, we'll provide all of your listeners with a discount, they can get the book or and the video course together.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. Plus, for those that are inclined for scientific validation, there's over 500 references that have been reviewed by a PhD to determine whether the validity of these studies were done. There's also another extension, which is a complete guide to nutritional supplements, what they do, how they work.
Oh, great.
That's also 200 plus pages.
Those are also additional components to the book offering. And there's also some recipe books that are available for people if they're maybe they're not experienced with a certain type of diet and they go, well, how do I eat a plant-based diet and be healthy? Or how do I eat a carnivore diet or be healthy?
Yeah.
Like, we have books so that can spur their own discoveries about making meals that are healthy and vital and support their needs. So it's a really robust encyclopedia of options for people, no matter where they are on the, if they're, you know, they're a rank beginner or someone who is a deep expert with decades of experience, they're going to find value from it. And again, we're blessed to do it. And I want to thank Matt for having the courage for 20 years. A lot of people don't hear from Matt, but he's a guy that is really dedicated to the science. Our laboratory that we have where we're actually doing the research to not only just go beyond lab assays, but to actually see if this is bioavailable. We spend a tremendous amount of money on it with our lab in Bosnia to make the best products and to come up with the right conclusions so you can trust the information that's in there, that it meets the highest levels of, you know, rigor examination and, again, exposing. And there's many things that we discovered in the production of that book and over the last 20 years that were counter to belief systems that we had. And the value of taking apart our own paradigm blindness has been extremely valuable. And if there's something we can encourage people to get is to recognize there's going to be things in there that's going to expose a paradigm bias that you might have. And we're asking you to sit with it, reach out to it, investigate it, and then come back with your questions. We've got a great social media, the Bio Tribe, an internal place where we answer questions specifically or direct people to aspects that they need resolved in order to kind of move forward with that paradigm.
Wade, you and I have never had a podcast that wasn't fun and exciting and interesting, and I've always had great feedback, and it's great to have you, Matt. I know you live a long ways from here, so look forward to having you back again.
No, the Paul Check hype is real. So for anybody who hasn't been here to your compound, if they get the chance, definitely take advantage of it.
Thanks.
Been hearing a lot about it from Wade and from other people. So, yeah, I mean, you've got an incredible life and world that you've built. And, you know, I'm going to take that away with me. And
yeah,
it's
great.
It's going to inspire me to in many ways. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, I really have – it's been very important to me my whole professional career to – be true to what I teach. And, you know, you eat, sleep, breathe, and shit your philosophy. And I think that's what's missing in the medical system. That's what's missing in all these cultish nutritional systems. I mean, I must have had 35 vegans come to me, usually with cancer and other serious health problems, sitting and arguing with me about how good veganism is when I tell them that we need to change their approach. And I have to remind them, you are here paying me $750 an hour because your diet's not working. Why are you trying to defend the disease when I can help you upgrade your philosophy, be much more healthy and much more vital, and learn? And that's the difference between being in a cult and being an open-minded person who really genuinely wants to be a healthy person.
And just a caveat for all those vegans who want to win that argument with you, come over and I'll handle those questions for you because I did figure it out on that level, and I'm grateful for that experience. And I did that out of a lot of constraints, a lot of experiments, And that's not to advocate veganism. I'm here to advocate health.
Yeah.
And that's the differentiation. I'm not here to advocate for a plant-based diet or a keto diet. I'm here to get you the result you want, which is to be a healthiest, most vital person in the world, because that allows you to contribute your unique gifts, your unique capabilities to the human organism. As I suggested earlier, we're all just single cells in the human body throughout all time. We're the product of the 10,000 generations or so before us.
Yeah.
And what our decisions that we do today echo in time for 10,000 generations to come. And that's a profound impact of how your decisions today can impact not just you, but the people you talked about. You've impacted millions of people with your information, and we hope to do the same with the Ultimate Nutrition Bible.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're going to, and I'm glad I can help you get it out to people. I have told far more meat eaters to quit eating so much meat and put countless people on vegetarian diets as part of a detox and a cleansing and a revitalizing program and get them to eat more raw food. So though I may sometimes mention vegetarian and veganism, I'm more speaking to the cult aspects and the and the self-limiting aspects of it. But from a dietary perspective, I find that a lot of people eat far too much meat, and a lot of most people, 96% of all the 94 to 96% of all the food eaten in the world is commercially raised. So I tell people, if you're eating, even if you're eating the right amount of meat for your bodily needs, but it's coming from a commercial source, you're poisoning the hell out of yourself. So I'm often, if they say I don't have enough money, I say eat less meat and buy more organic stuff. Point being is, it's not just about veganism. It's just about being conscious of the necessary to be open to change, because that's what your life is calling for, your body's calling for, your mind is calling for, your emotions are calling for. And having, like we've been talking about, foundation principles in place, because if you understand the foundation of any subject, be it martial arts, baseball, basketball, hockey, mechanics, electronics, philosophy, physiology, medicine, reading the fancy stuff and listening to experts is dangerous, because you actually think you know what you're doing, but you don't understand the foundation. So therefore, you cannot have an effective level of discernment.
Every ism is a prism.
Yeah.
And from that, what we hope people get is freedom from the paradigms that have limited them, and an expansion of their awareness so that they can live a healthy, long, productive lifestyle.
Yes, perfect. Well, thank you, both of you. Thank you for your sponsorship of my podcast. I've been I'm grateful. I tell everybody, like I'm going to tell them now, the reason I use Bioptimizer's products is because they actually do what they say they will do, and they give a 365-day money-back guarantee, which means they're not worried about you not getting the results you want. And the guys that you've just been listening to are sharing the products that they created out of their own philosophy with the same morals, ethicals, and values. And that's what I'm after. So thank you to you guys, and thank you to the other sponsors of the podcast for your great products and for giving us an opportunity to use our money to vote in positive ways. Because I know money that goes to Bioptimizers gets used for research and development to make better products and healthier people. And all my other sponsors, whatever you're spending money on them, they're enhancing the quality of the soil, they're enhancing the quality of an animal's life, a plant's life, and making a positive impact on the world. And today, the political system is so broken, but the one thing we do have is we vote with our dollars.
Correct.
And thanks for joining me, you guys. I hope you all enjoy applying some of the principles we talked about today. And I think now is more important of a time than ever to get yourself healthy, because we're living in a very toxic environment. And I know from my own life, if you drink clean water and eat good food, exercise, do some saunas, some cold plunge, keep your system moving inside, detoxify occasionally, like every 6 months to a year, depending on whether I forget or not. We all do parasite cleanses, whether we need them or not. We, you know, monitor so that we don't overdose on sugar and create fungal problems. We just look at the basics and listen to our bodies. And I think if you walk away from this podcast knowing that it's really about paying attention to a few key things, you'll be a lot better off. So lots of love, guys. Thanks again. Thanks for driving all the way down from LA. And I look forward to sharing something new and exciting and interesting with you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Living 4D with Paul Check and today's guests, Wade Lighthart and Matt Gallant. You can get Matt and Wade's book, The Ultimate Nutrition Bible, on Amazon or visit bioptimizers.com/ultimate-nutrition-system for a special bundle of the book, Ultimate Nutrition Course, Ultimate Nutrition App, and 6 additional ebooks. That's bioptimizers.com/ultimate-nutrition-system. Save 10% on all Bioptimizers products by going to bioptimizers.com/living4D and using the code PAUL10 at checkout. That's bioptimizers.com/living4D and the promo code is PAUL10. You can find Bioptimizers on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, X, and Facebook at Bioptimizers and catch up with Paul on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at paul.check, on X at Paul Check, or on his YouTube podcast channel, youtube.com/living4D with Paul Check. Watch more on Paul's blog at paulchecksblog.com or visit the Check Institute site at checkinstitute.com to find Paul's e-learning courses, advanced training programs, and to learn more about the Check Academy. You could read the show notes and find links to all the resources mentioned in this episode at checkinstitute.com/podcast. Again, a big thank you to our premier sponsors, Bioptimizers, Paleo Valley, and Organifi. We could not produce this podcast without their support. As you heard, all our sponsors offer special discounts for our listeners, so please visit the show notes page at checkinstitute.com/podcast for links and details. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and a warm review on the podcast platform of your choice. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and YouTube.